You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
We are back, Locked On Wolves podcast, and I say we because it's not just your host, Colton Molesky. It is also the regular, I don't know, guest seems like too weak of a term for you now, Seth, because Seth Topol, host of The Scoop, is on yet again. And you've been on enough times now, Seth, we've got to come up with another term for you. Maybe like, I don't know, confidant of the show, maybe secretary of defense of the Locked On Wolves realm, something. We need a new term for you, Seth.
Well, if you are the if you're the Tony Stark of the Locked On Wolves podcast, you could just call me Rhodey.
There we go. So it's got to be a secondhand man though. It's not guest is a little too casual, a little too formal. Yeah. It's a much more familiar relationship you and the Locked On Wolves podcast than guest.
I'll just be the war machine to your Iron Man. I'm good with that.
Beautiful. I love it. Well, you are back, and we are back to talk about Derrick Rose. We've been going through, I know you helped me break down the entire season. I was going through and talking about highlights, bloopers from the season, highlights for Towns. And now we have to talk about some of these pieces, because I'm holding off on the draft talk yet. I'm still holding off on the draft talk. But we're going to see now a pretty big, I got to think this is going to be one of the bigger shifts in just roster for the Timberwolves over the next couple of months here. And I think you're already starting to see some buzz about one of those first players I think you're going to see go is Derrick Rose. Lots of buzz around him and the Pistons is what I'm seeing. Have you seen any other teams jump into this right off the bat?
Not at this point, but when we get to where we start to look at possible landing spots for him, I mean, just go through and look at some of the teams that are going to be in need of a point guard for next year. I think one really sneaky one, because of what his predecessor has done and kind of where their team is at right now, I think the Utah Jazz would be a sneaky spot for him to go to, because it sounds like things with Ricky Rubio are to the point where he may or may not be back. If he's not brought back, I think Derrick Rose would be a perfect stopgap there, because if they don't bring Ricky Rubio back, you're looking for a little more offense, aren't you, from your next point guard? So that would be a spot. I think if Kemba Walker goes somewhere else and gets a big deal, I think the Charlotte Hornets would be a good spot for him to come in and start and maybe get a 2 or 3 year deal there. I mean, any other number of spots, he'd be a great complement to whatever the Los Angeles Clippers are looking to do. He maybe wouldn't start there, but you could look at him going to even like a Phoenix Suns. They still don't have an answer at that point guard spot. They've got a lot of salary cap room. They're going to be a really young team, so maybe you pay him a little more to come in and be a veteran leader for that group. So he's going to have no shortage of suitors, and I think that is going to be the biggest reason that he doesn't come back, is because he's going to get priced out pretty easily by what should be a handful of teams that look at what he did last year and say, yeah, that's something we could absolutely work with.
One of the spots I was thinking was Miami, I thought, was a really good landing spot for him. I mean, Dwayne Wade is gone. You have a bunch of young dudes, but it's a lot of the pieces that they have right now. I think you like a lot more of what they offer defensively than offensively most of the time. And with Dwayne Wade gone, that was one of those guys that on the team, one of the key guys that ran a lot of the offense through him. And obviously he's not a point guard, but you still ran a lot of the offense through Dwayne Wade. He's gone now. Maybe you're looking for somebody. I mean, Derrick Rose had a decent amount of isolation. He controlled and ran a decent amount of isolation. I don't think you're bringing him on and bringing too much isolation with Dwayne Wade out of the offense now. I think he might be a little a nice little piece to have coming off the bench for. I can see him running if you don't overuse him, maybe averaging 16, 15 points per game for the Heat. And I think that's a nice little offensive piece to pair with a lot of the defense and with a lot of those longer stretch guys that they have on that roster.
Yeah, that would be a really good fit for him too. I mean, let's just look at, you know, the model for what he's going to want. He's going to want to be he's going to want to be the starter probably for any team that he goes to. So you're looking at teams that have either no point guard that they really go to on a regular basis, or a young point guard that then could be the backup and get comfortable in that starting role eventually. And he's going to want to go to a team where they need him to be one of the top figures on the offense. So any team that can offer him that plus make the money worth the while and probably give him a little bit of security too with a couple of years, maybe two or three, then those are going to be the suitors that he goes to the quickest. And yeah, I think Miami Heat would be great. The Detroit Pistons, that would make a lot of sense actually, because you've got Blake Griffin, you've got Andre Drummond. They don't really have a lot in terms of scoring from their wings. So he'd be perfect to be kind of that pick and roll point guard. And that could actually be a pretty daunting group to go up with. I mean, you're pick and rolling with Andre Drummond, and you're mixing in a little Blake Griffin there as well. That might be a spot to keep an eye on, but there will be plenty as well, plenty of others.
I gotta disagree with you just a little bit. I don't think he needs to start if he's on a good enough team, and if they have like a plan and have other point guards and a rotation figured out. I don't think he needs to start. I do think he needs to see maybe more minutes than a stereotypical bench guard, but I don't know if he needs to go to a spot to start. I don't think he goes to the Suns and expects to come off the bench. I think if you're going to a bad team, he probably thinks that he would be good enough to start and should start. But I think if he ends up on the Pistons and they keep Reggie Jackson, I think, and Ish Smith, I can see a rotation where you have the three of them kind of cycling in and out and in and out, and he's fine with it. I think he had a come to Jesus moment the last couple of years and realized that he needs to be more okay taking his hand off the keys a little bit. And the other thing too is, if you're Derrick Rose, you need to understand too that while you were really good in your spot last year with the Timberwolves, you also played way too many minutes. They needed him far too much, and he ended up falling apart because of that. His body isn't built to average 26 minutes per game throughout a season anymore. And I think the best spot for him is a place where he can go and he can be on the floor either running the offense or running with the offense, but that role looks more like 16 minutes per game, not 26, you know? Because I honestly don't think he's ever going to be in a spot where he can play 70-some games through a season and average over 20 minutes.
Yeah, and considering what he has been through in his past, I mean, it's no different than Tiger Woods getting to all the back issues that he's had. I mean, it gets to the point where it just catches up with you, and multiple knee injuries. There's got to be a plan to try to limit his minutes a little bit, and bench option probably is the best way to do that. So then it becomes, you know, best opportunity for him to probably get paid and or win, and the situation will balance those out a little better. But yeah, I would agree, and that probably is a better way to phrase that too, is that, you know, not necessarily needing to start. It's just going to be about which team gives him the best opportunity, and also which team is going to present a plan for him that's going to keep him healthy and keep him going for as much of the season as possible.
We're going to talk about if the Timberwolves should be part of this conversation. But before we go to break, One last team I wanted to touch on was, is there a chance that Rose is one of the many veterans over the last 4 years that ends up on the Warriors on just a veteran minimum, trying to get that elusive ring, trying to be a part of a championship roster and just being a role player with Curry and with Klay? I think this is a really good year for them to find a bunch of guys in that veteran role player vein, because they probably lose Durant. They might lose Draymond. It might be the Curry and Klay show next year. So if you're looking at it through that lens, is Derrick Rose the kind of guy that the Warriors would be interested in bringing on and running some of their offense with the second unit through him? Now that they have maybe a little more roster room, a little more of a depleted group that they need to replenish.
You know, that could actually be a pretty sneaky fit for him, because you look at the Warriors bench unit, and a lot of times with the amount of minutes that their starters play, you've still got one of those starters in that can, or at least a couple of those starters in that can kind of run things and still keep the car humming, even though it's maybe not running at full capacity all the time. But that would take a lot of pressure off of those guys if you had somebody that could come in and could give a little bit of a different look and could lead the offense when a majority of the bench is in. That is, I would hate it if it happened, because it's the Warriors, but I think that would be a sneaky good fit for him. Again, it's going to come down to if he wants to go to the Empire and come away with a win, or if at this point he wants to add a little more cash to his ledger. That's going to be the biggest question there, is what is he really looking for at this point in his career?
Well, I mean, he has the unique opportunity or the unique position too of, he's one of these guys where even if you look at his NBA contracts and say, well, somebody who was Illinois Mr. Basketball and who was such a good player at Memphis, you expected him to have a couple big deals, big contracts in his NBA career that maybe he didn't get to expectations. He still had the huge Adidas contract. And so I don't know, I'd be surprised if he was looking at deals just solely based on, hey, I only have two more years, let me get some cash that maybe I missed out on earlier in my career. It just doesn't feel, with the shoe deals that he got early on in his career, that would be something that motivates him. But I could be wrong. Maybe that is the way he's looking at it. Maybe that is a big factor for him, and that would greatly impact which teams he ends up going to too, if that is truly a huge factor for him. We're going to take a quick break for some sponsors, and then we're going to get back into this discussion on where Derrick Rose ends up next in this journey of his. First, some sponsors. Hiring used to be hard, Seth. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, and confusing review process. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done. And that's ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. And this is actually a pretty good topic for us, Seth. Maybe Derrick Rose can go and load his resume onto ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter.com, and find himself a job. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the websites, or of the web's leading job boards, excuse me. But they don't stop there. With the powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. They're basically doing all the work for you. Miami is going to find Derrick Rose no problem with this application. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates, so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. Within the first day, Seth. So that's good for us, because we are always hanging by a thread at our current jobs, and with our current employers, we're always hanging at a thread of whether we make it to the next day or not. We're always very top, high on the list of first in, first out, I think.
Well, and especially after the latest podcast for The Scoop, I mean,
I'm getting you fired. I'm getting you fired for sure. That's happening. But hey, You can go on ZipRecruiter, load up that resume, and they'll find you a job lickety-split. Right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address. It's ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. Go check it out. The best way now to hire. All right. Speaking of hiring, Derrick Rose looking for the next job. Pistons were on there. We talked about a bunch of teams where he could possibly go. Before we talk about if the Timberwolves should be in the Derrick Rose market, I want to ask you, this is always fascinating because there's always two or three guys every free agency that just get wildly overpaid. If Derrick Rose is one of those guys that gets like a, what would be overpaid for Derrick Rose? I'm thinking like a two-year $25 million contract, two-year $35 million contract. What team gives him that deal? What team looks at the market and even though nobody's really bidding, says, "Oh man, we got to outbid everybody." And their head coach and their VP is, "What? Who are we outbidding?" And the GM says, "Nope, we're throwing the bank at him. We got to outbid everybody." And there's nobody's bidding for him. All right, let's offer him the contract. And they offer him 2 years, $30 million. What team does that?
I have two teams that would do that. It would be either the Phoenix Suns, who decided to give Trevor Ariza $15 million last year, or it would be the New York Knicks, his former employer, who, after a bit of a resurgence in Chicago, they decided that they wanted to make him their next featured point guard, and we all know how that worked out. So I think the Knicks... I think where the Knicks are at right now, they would be in a situation where they would do it twice. Shame on, fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, shame on me if you're the Knicks, otherwise shame on you.
I actually like this because there is a real scenario with the Knicks where, because I really do think KD is going to them. And so that's one max slot. But they cleared out two max slots, right? They made a big deal about that, trading KP, making sure they had two max slots. And there is a scenario where they get KD. Great, that worked out fine. But now they can't – Kyrie stays with Boston. Somebody goes and gets Kemba Walker. And all of a sudden they're going through – and Ben Simmons get, like, let's just say for the sake of skepticism, let's just say Ben Simmons gets traded to like the Pelicans and Jimmy Butler stays with the 76ers. All right, now we've run out of guys and we have this max slot. And instead of being rational, they panic and just overpay like three guys with this extra cash they have to try and fill this void that they desperately wanted to fill with all-star talent. And maybe Derrick Rose is one of those guys. It seems unlikely because they already did this dance. But, you know, nothing is ever out of the realm of possibility with the Knicks.
Yeah, with New York, you can never say never. because, well, we have any number of historical examples that we can point to as to when they did things poorly. And they just keep churning them out. The only other team that is even remotely close is the Phoenix Suns, and they hired Monty Williams, so it seems like that was a good decision. So, yeah, it's going to be those two in a bidding war against themselves. Maybe the San Antonio Spurs, like, leaking information that they're interested and prepared to offer him a big deal, so then the Suns or the Knicks pull a Dave Gettleman, and they basically just – they bid against the mystery caller, which was no one, and then they end up paying him $18 million a year.
There's a route where the Dallas Mavericks also offer him too much money.
That would actually be an interesting fit.
Because it can't be – you can run to a point, the offense through like KP or Luka. But you still, at least for the first half of these games, you still want a point guard. And I like Jalen Brunson, but it can't be him for 82 games either. So you're going to need another guy. The final question before we head out here, though, because a team, I feel like he's a prime candidate with just how well he started out the season. He's a prime candidate to get overpaid. So I think this is a more likely scenario than maybe a lot of the ones we talked about today. But before we finish out here, the Timberwolves, We haven't mentioned them a lot. Should they be in the Derrick Rose conversation? Why or why not, Seth?
Well, they either way, they really can't be because they are essentially at the same point where Happy Gilmore's grandma is when she loses the house. Is it's like, why, grandma, why didn't you give a competitive offer to Derrick Rose in free agency? I would have, but I didn't have any money. they're so cap strapped right now that, yeah, they can offer him, you know, some portion of the exception, and they can offer him a veterans minimum deal too, but they're really not going to be able to go into a comfortable amount, a comfortable dollar amount for him to stay, as it would be. There's going to be too big of a gap between what they can offer him and what other teams will offer him. So will they be involved in it? I'm sure they will. I'm sure they'll make every effort they can to re-sign him, but I don't think they're going to at the end. And I mean, you look at what he did, and he really anchored that bench unit. Nobody really did anything very well defensively, but that's another issue entirely. But I don't know. I think it would be good for them to at least see if they can maybe get him to pull an Anthony Barr and get cold feet and come back. I don't see it really being that likely to happen. I think he's going to take a bigger contract elsewhere.
They can spend like $1.5 million on him, and that's literally it.
Yeah.
Because they need they need to keep Dario around. They need another guy who's going to be a good wing, like another 2-3 hybrid who can come back, because, I mean, Tulliver's not coming back. I can't remember. Luol Deng, though, his contract should be up, shouldn't it?
Yeah, that was just for the year. I think his was just a one year. Well, and he was bought out by LA, I believe.
Yeah, so he'll be gone. Taj is going to be gone. You need a younger. If you can find somebody in that 25 to 28 range for mildly cheap, who's kind of a 2-3 shooter on the outside, hybrid kind of defender guy, that's what you really need. And so you can literally, with those two moves on the table already as musts, you can bring, I mean, I wouldn't hate if they brought back Derrick Rose, but he's probably gonna be able to give you for sure 50 games. He's not gonna be able to play a ton of minutes. You're already gonna have to, I mean, probably package Tyus Jones with somebody, maybe for draft picks or for to get rid of Gorgie. You're gonna already need to draft a point guard anyways, so he can come back, but you really don't want to spend more than probably a million on him, more than the veterans minimum on him. Maybe there's a hometown discount there, but I don't know if you're Derrick Rose if you're giving the Timberwolves that much of a hometown discount even, because I think there's a team that's going to overpay him more than that, but I'm sure there's a team out there that's going to give him a one-year, $4 million contract. I think there's probably 10 teams in the league that would do that. And so I just – if that's the minimum bid and the Timberwolves still can't beat or shouldn't be spending more than that even, then I don't see how he comes back.
Yeah, I mean, there will be a team that'll – give him close to eight per year. I think there'll be a couple teams, and then maybe that gets him up into that $9 to $10 million per year range. And I don't know, maybe one of those two teams that I mentioned, not really having a lot of what we would call basketball sense, maybe they hop in and get it up to like between 10 and 12. But yeah, you're looking at what the Timberwolves can possibly offer unless they make some massive trades. They're going to say, look, this is what we can give you, but we can't really go above that. And then I think that's going to be about as quick as he moves on to looking at other teams.
All in all, if it was just a 1.5-year deal, pretty enjoyable Derrick Rose experience for the Timberwolves.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, a 50-point game, and he had a lot of performances where he simply stepped up and he was just cruising along offensively.
Legitimate sixth man of the year before he got injured in December. Legitimate sixth man of the year and legitimate all-star game contender before he got the injury, which is a bummer, but is also probably something that you expect from Derrick Rose at this point, is when you're playing him that hefty of minutes, really gambling with his health there. But I thought overall really enjoyable Derrick Rose experience for the Timberwolves, and now that's coming to a close. But I don't think it's a bitter moment. I think it's just, well, we're happy with what we got for him.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, obviously, you know, he's going to do what's best for him. If he does come back, then I think that speaks to a little bit of where he's at this point in his career, and maybe wanting to be more of a leader. But if not, you know, you can't fault the guy for going and securing the bag any time he gets a chance.
By the way, as we're recording this, watching the Warriors-Rockets game, and Harden just got gouged in the eye again, and they're showing his eye. Holy smokes. This dude is going to have some actual ocular vision problems after this series. Like, actually, this is ridiculous. That was very random, but it's so glaringly disgusting on my screen, I can't help but mention it. Seth, thank you so much for talking about Derrick Rose with me. Make sure all of you go and once you're done listening to this, as long as it's out at the time of you downloading this episode, so sometime tomorrow, make sure you're downloading the podcast, The Scoop, where we talk about, Seth, we basically talk about everything on that show.
Yeah, we just have fun for 40, 50 minutes talking about whatever, and then I find the sports bits and I put those into the show. It's basically just a chance for us to sit down and have an extended conversation about life on a weekly basis. And as a result, you get some really good bits from that. And there's a lot of stuff that on this week's episode is going to just be on the podcast. But it's all great radio, and so definitely look forward to that.
I swear to God, we're not friends anymore if you delete the part of the show where I talk about Thor is basically an Instagram model. You can go listen to that on The Scoop. Make sure you're downloading that podcast. Make sure you're downloading and subscribing to this podcast everywhere you're getting your podcasts. Also, go check out the Locked On NBA podcast. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening to another show. Thank you to Seth for joining the show. That's it for us. Have a fantastic evening / morning / wherever this finds you. Goodbye, everyone.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.